You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Guys, today we are joined by Ralph Lifshitz. He is a prospect writer for Razzball.com. He recently wrote about Ryan McKenna, who, if you haven't noticed, is having a hell of a year for the Orioles Class A affiliate in Frederick. I talked to Lifshitz about McKenna and several other Orioles prospects. We're going to get to that interview in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Ralph Lifshitz. He is a prospects writer for Razzball.com. That's Razzball.com. And Ralph, I brought you on because you recently wrote about Ryan McKenna. And he is a guy who is getting a lot of attention lately. In fact, as we talk today on Wednesday, the Fangraphs had an article about him. And yeah. Other places have been writing about him. But you read about him last week. And the reason all you guys are paying attention to him is because he is really just ripping the cover off the ball at Frederick. And it's interesting because this is a guy who, entering the season, you point this out in your article, he wasn't even in the Orioles' top 30 prospects list on Baseball America coming into the 2018 season. So he has really risen up the charts quickly because of the way he's hitting. So let's just talk about McKenna, because a lot of fans, even diehard Orioles fans who follow this stuff, may not know much about him because he really wasn't on the radar at all. So just tell us a little bit about him and why you think he's succeeding so much at this point.
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on the show. It's quite an honor. I actually have been listening to a few of your other different podcasts that you're doing out there, and you've been doing great work, obviously. So like I said, it's an honor to be on here. But as for McKenna, yeah, he's a really interesting prospect because he's one of these guys that, you know, was sort of outside the first few rounds in terms of a prep pick. And in the Fangraphs article that they wrote about, they give a little bit more background as opposed to, you know, a little bit less maybe baseball analysis or numbers analysis, what I have. A lot of that has to do with access. But I thought one of the things that was interesting is, you know, he had an opportunity to play at Liberty University. And for the most part, it seemed like he was, wherever he was drafted, he was just going to go. He wanted to play pro ball. You know, being a cold weather prospect, he's from Maine, played his high school ball at a pretty good school in Dover, New Hampshire. And, you know, there's not great competition around here. I live in Massachusetts. I'm probably about, I don't know, maybe an hour from where he went to high school. And, you know, even in Massachusetts, you know, there's few and far between great first to second round talents. You know, maybe Matt Tabor, you know, was a recent one, but you don't see many of those guys. So I think with what he's one of these guys that, you know, was raw because he doesn't get as many reps as some of these guys that are maybe the southern part of the country, out west in California, Florida, all those places where, you know, they get year round playing time. And a lot of that is obviously weather driven. So I think one of the things with McKenna is a really good example of like these cold weather prospects that with repetition and coaching and sort of following a process that may not necessarily be advanced. Like, you know, you're not seeing a Vlad Guerrero Jr. who's jumping in a double A at 19 years old. It's a little bit more slow and plodding. You know, he's going to take his time in each level, pick up the skills as they go along. And I think the biggest thing with him, and he talked about it in the Fangraphs article, and I think it's something that, and, you know, if you just took a glance at his numbers, you sort of notice it's the pitch recognition. And that's what's allowed McKenna to sort of take the next step. He's getting on base. And, you know, beyond that, I think, you know, it sort of gives you a baseline when you're slumping that, you know, if you can work a count, if you can get on base and get those couple of walks, score a run, things start to happen. You can start to get that mojo back. So I think the thing I like the most about McKenna is he seems like a really high floor prospect based on his performance thus far this season. He's probably, you know, grown up a little bit. He's added a couple of pounds of muscle over the last couple of years. You know, that's showing now in terms of the power. He's got the highest isolated slugging of his career, just below 200. It's 179 right now. But, you know, he's hitting 377, 467, 556. So even beyond the pitch recognition, he knows what pitches to hit. And he actually mentioned that as well in that Fangraphs article, talking about, you know, identifying the curveball better and some of those things. And I think we're so quick with a guy whose numbers adjust with sort of narrative that's been going on in baseball for the last year or two, maybe three, with swing adjustments, that we look at the numbers and we say, all right, this guy's hitting for more power and he's got better pitch recognition, sure, but there's obviously a swing adjustment here. And he said, you know, maybe tweaks here and there, but he's been pretty adamant that, you know, he hasn't messed with a launch angle, anything like that. You know, he's you know, prefers to be a line drive hitter. I mean, the numbers bear that out. He's got a 27.6% line drive rate at the moment, going into the All-Star game. And it sort of all culminated this week when McKenna was hitting leadoff, I think, for the North All-Stars in the Carolina League All-Star game, and led the game off with a double and scored the first run of the game. And I think that's sort of indicative of what he's doing. Is he's just, you know, hitting what pitches he's given. You know, he's not trying to mash everything. He's not trying to hit home runs. But, you know, when he gets an opportunity to drive a ball, he's getting behind it, sitting back, and using the bat speed that he sort of has always naturally had. So I think it's a good job by the Orioles of sort of finding a somewhat unknown prep talent and molding him into something. And I think the most impressive thing is probably the fact that he's an Orioles prospect with a really good pitch recognition skill that walks at a high clip. I mean, we haven't seen many of those guys come throughout the system. I mean, they tend to sort of prefer this softball player kind of profile where it's like put the ball in play and make things happen.
Yeah. Anybody listening to this podcast is well aware of the Orioles, problems with on-base percentage in recent years. It's not been a priority. And obviously, you know, with Adam Jones and guys like that leading the way, they have not had a lot of high on base percentage guys in recent years.
No.
So it is good to hear that in particular. Now, you mentioned his slash line, which is phenomenal. He's got 18 doubles and 8 homers on the year. The Fangraphs article suggested that he's like 5'11", 190. Or maybe that was your arc. Honestly, I can't remember. I read both of them today, so can't remember which one I read in. But it suggested that maybe because he's not a huge guy by baseball standards, maybe he's not going to be really a power hitter and, like you said, more of a line drive hitter. So going forward, should we expect him to be more of an on-base kind of guy with some doubles, not necessarily a power hitter? Is that kind of how he projects in your mind?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that could, you know, potentially be a leadoff hitter. And I know I've heard some of the, you know, folks that follow the Orioles write about Orioles prospects. Some have gone as far as to say he was the fastest player in the organization coming into the season. I mean, he's been a little bit less. That's one of the few things that he hasn't been successful with this season, which is sort of a departure from, you know, his previous track record. Is he's, you know, 5'4", 11 on the bases, where last year he was 20-for-22. So he's got the speed. He's shown the instincts before. Maybe it's just when he's running, you know, who he's facing and the, you know, pitchers, that sort of thing. But I think he's a legitimate on base percentage leadoff guy, put the ball in play, and he's a good center fielder. The defense is there as well. So he's a very valuable real life profile, that he's an up the middle player that gets on base, fits a role at the top of your lineup, and can be, you know, a premium run producer if everything sort of maxes out.
Now, we mentioned he's 21 years old. He's obviously dominating at high A right now in the Carolina League. What's next for him? Is there any thought that the Orioles are going to promote him maybe to double A at some point this season? Or is that a next season kind of thing? What are we looking at in terms of his walk up the ladder of the Orioles system?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, he's leading, and the person that he's leading it over is since moved on to double A and is, you know, absolutely scorching it on fire. That's Keston Hiura, you know, first top 10 pick of the Milwaukee Brewers last year. He's ahead of his batting average still by what, like 40, 50 points? I mean, this guy, I'd be shocked if he's not in double A within weeks. It seems like it's a foregone conclusion that, you know, at least I'd say latest mid-July, you know, after the MLB All-Star break. But, you know, the numbers that he's putting up now, there's no reason not to test them and see what they can do. Now, I don't know if they do want to stick with this slow development process with, you know, pretty much a level a year. He's kind of been that way where, you know, he started off in the GCL and a short season ball, you know, followed that up with, you know, a season at Del Marva, and then, of course, this year, at, you know, in the Carolina League with Frederick. But Yeah, it's. I can't imagine he doesn't get promoted to Double A within, yeah, like I said, weeks to a month at the latest.
Now, like I said, obviously we know this guy was not projected as much of a prospect coming into the year. He certainly, you know, if we redid the Orioles rankings right now, he'd certainly be much higher on the list. We're talking about maybe, you know, probably going to Bowie at some point this season. Realistically, if he succeeds at Bowie, if he continues to show his ability to hit at the different levels of the minor leagues, you know, I know it's hard to project this, but when realistically do you think we could see him in Baltimore? What are we looking at in terms of his time frame?
Yeah, well, it certainly won't be this year, even if he absolutely rakes upon promotion to Bowie. But, you know, I would imagine he's probably more on a timeline for, at best case scenario, next summer would be the earliest, and he would have to, like I said, he would have to, you know, rake at Bowie and then follow it up with a great performance in Norfolk. You know, an international league isn't an easy place to hit. Neither is the Eastern League, for that matter. So he might get tested early on in the cold weather, see how he works through that. I don't think it's going to be an issue. He's a New England kid. Like I said, he's from Maine, so I'm sure he's used to that. But yeah, I would imagine that the earliest time frame is probably July of next year. More likely, probably late next year. I don't see Baltimore necessarily being in the race, but they're the kind of organization that will just promote a guy. I don't think anyone thought Austin Hayes would end up, even at this time last year when he was still, you know, absolutely, you know, scorching hot. I don't think anyone expected Austin Hayes to get as much run in the majors as he did at the end of the year. So I guess stranger things could happen, but my expectation is probably July 2019.
With, you know, maybe 2020 being his first full season if things work out. So we're talking a couple of years from now before maybe has a real impact in Baltimore. Obviously, if things continue to progress for him, which is always a big if. You know, speaking of which, let's transition to you mentioned Austin Hayes. What are we thinking about Austin Hayes? Because like, this time last year, like you said, we're talking about him the way we're talking about McKenna now. Obviously, he's had some injuries, hasn't produced as much as they'd hoped. What is the current thinking on Hayes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's obviously had, you know, some injury issues this year. He's got the ankle issue now. And I know, I don't know how long he's going to end up on the shelf, but you know, he's got one of these Orioles type profiles where it seemed like, you know, the strikeout rate, and we saw this when he was in Baltimore for a short time, the strikeout rate jumped up to 25% after being, you know, in the mid-teens to low teens before that. And, you know, they sent him back to Double A, which I think was a shock to a lot of people. I imagine that there was a chance he could break camp. I think there was a lot of talk of that in January. I don't know if those were Hayes' expectations. I haven't spoken with him personally, but I'm sure it's easy to get wrapped up in the hype when you had the kind of season that he was coming off of in 2017. And, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, maybe that's part of it was the struggles, the fact that the Orioles were, I think, pretty vocal about the fact that they want him to walk more and sort of work on his approach. And the other side of it is maybe there's something that they got a book on him and people started to exploit some holes. Now, from what I had watched, it seemed like, you know, Hayes was pressing a lot. I caught a few games where he hit homers. So maybe I have slightly rose tinted glasses with Hayes. And he's a guy that I ranked in the top 25 coming into the season because I thought that, you know, he had the right profile. And we've been burned actually recently, prospect writers, when I say we, with this sort of profile, this power, low, you know, high contact, low strikeout profile. Willie Calhoun's another one. And he's had his struggles with the Rangers organization. If you had, you know, put a gun to my head, you know, prior to the season and really pressed me for, you know, two players not named, you know, Acuna that were going to have, you know, phenomenal rookie years, you know, I probably would have said those two guys. And neither of them have surfaced. And, you know, obviously Hayes has struggled. But I also don't think it's a reason to give up on him. This is all part of that. Becoming a professional baseball player is making adjustments, improving, people figuring things out, you figuring other things out from other guys. You know, he's still very, very young. And I think that there's no reason to jump off ship, but there might be, you know, we can certainly readjust expectations. And I think that's where we're at with Hayes, where he's no longer a top 25 prospect to me. And I typically have a fantasy slant in terms of how I rank my prospects, just to sort of throw that out there and give a qualifier. I'd say he's probably somewhere in like the 60 to 75 range. He's still a power bat, but there's certainly more risk in the profile than we saw coming into the year. I think he was considered a relatively low-risk prospect.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the other prospects in the Orioles system and how they're doing. You know, I've had, before the season and during the season, I've had several conversations with some Orioles prospects guys. You know, obviously we know some of the names, Cedric Mullins, Ryan Mountcastle. Give us your thoughts on some of the Orioles prospects, those guys and some of the pitchers as well.
Sure, yeah, and I think they've done a good job of adjusting, you know, their approach with pitching. You know, I've sort of read a little bit about that. And, you know, heard some folks saying that, and they found some success with, you know, a lot of these guys. Unfortunately, it's not, you know, Hunter Harvey, who I think we all sort of dream on still. There's times where he looks absolutely locked in, but, you know, a guy like, you know, Zach Lothier, who is, you know, sort of a back end of the rotation profile. But, you know, he's a control deception lefty, and he's, you know, he's been excellent this year across, you know, two levels of A ball, only has, you know, 15 innings, I think about three starts or so now, with Jaime Frederick, but, you know, he's been just as good there, you know, as he was in Delmarva. So we've seen a strong performance from a guy like Zach Lothier. You know, we've seen, another, you know, a teammate of his and Michael, Bauman have an excellent season, as well. And Bauman's a guy I like a lot. I mean, it's a good fastball. I think it's maybe above average. What I've seen from him in the slider and in a couple of starts of his that I've watched, I think it's a plus slider. And the changeup, I think, you know, he uses it effectively. He can mix it in a little bit. And the command is at times is still a little wonky. I'd like to see him miss a few more bats. You know, certainly beginning of the season, he was striking everybody out, but it's a very different ball game when you're talking about low A versus high A hitters. And it also might be the teams he's playing. So I've seen, you know, a couple of those starts. I think he's still got it. He's an interesting guy. But I think of all the players in the system that I'm probably most fond of outside of, is Ryan Mountcastle. I mean, Mountcastle is one of these guys that, I love them coming out of the draft. I love this high school swing. He's another one of these guys that doesn't have the approach that you'd like to see, but he's improved that significantly this season. You know, his walk rate's up to 8.2%, which is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, he's striking out less. You know, he's never been a super high strikeout guy, at least from, you know, unless you look way back into his, you know, his actual professional debut where he was a high school kid. The numbers haven't been overwhelming. He hasn't hit for a ton of power, but he's had a couple of injuries, and I think that's, you know, it was a hand injury in particular. So, you know, that's going to certainly, you know, sap a little bit of power. It's going to take a little bit of time for that to sort of get back, if you get that feeling back. But I do think he's, you know, a high upside. I'd give him, you know, a 60 on power, 60 on hit, and I think he balances the two well. He's not all that different from Brendan Rodgers, just a little bit worse defensively, but I think he's almost like a poor man's Brendan Rodgers. And for those that don't know, Brendan Rodgers is a highly regarded prospect from the Rockies organization.
So like defensively, I know Mountcastle, there's been some questions about him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's probably, you know, his third base is certainly better than his short. I think he's one of these guys that might end up as a left fielder. I don't know if they're going to make that move yet. I mean, they certainly haven't. It's been whispered about since he was sort of drafted that's always been an issue. He's certainly a hit first guy. But thank God, you know, he's with an AL organization and they could sort of work around that, because I think the bat will be good enough that, you know, it will play up even if he's, you know, an everyday DH at some point in his career. But I think likely he's probably going to end up in left field. He's played almost, I think he's played entirely in third base in the DH this season. So yeah, I guess they're giving him a shot at third base, but he's not great. You know, the arm is okay, but his footwork is sloppy. He's a little stiff as well at times. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's a really questionable infielder at this point.
All right. Well, Ralph, thanks so much for joining us today. If people want to find your work, we mentioned rasball.com. Where else can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Prospect Jesus. I'm constantly, you know, shooting out videos of all the different games I've been going to. Like I said, I've been going to a lot of Cape League games of recent. But I got a bunch of affiliates for, you know, Double A and then Short Season with Lowell in Connecticut right down the road from me as well. And you can find my weekly live baseball show on YouTube. It's the Fantrax Network, and that's the baseball show. You can actually follow us at the baseball show, but the Spanish spelling, so B-E-I-S-B-O-L, that spelling of baseball. And we're putting something out every week. We've had some guests on from Baseball America. We have Ben Badler on right before the J2, though I know J2 isn't a time that Orioles fans are particularly interested in. I had to get that jab in. Sorry.
Yeah, I had Ben on recently, and we talked about that in depth. And for people who didn't listen to that episode, what you're talking about is that the July 2nd is the international signing date, and the Orioles generally don't sign a lot of international players, to say the least.
And we have him on June 27th. So we have one of the last sort of things that he's going to be doing before the actual signing period. We'll probably know where most of these guys are going at that point. I think it's going to be an exciting show. We had Kyle Glazer on a couple of weeks ago, Jason Woodell, who gets a lot of firsthand looks at prospects down in Florida. He's an excellent follow. If you're not following him, Jason at the game. And I think tonight we have Michael Gianella from Baseball Prospectus on. So that's going to be a fun show too. And we have live chat, and we do some Periscope afterward. Hop on Twitter and answer some questions live from folks that want to come on and just hit us with, you know, baseball or fantasy baseball questions, prospect questions, whatever. And I'll also do an AMA over on Reddit in the fantasy baseball group from 2 to 4 on Fridays. So, yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. Constantly doing shows, podcasts, writing.
Yeah.
I stay busy.
I hear you. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Love to have you back on later in the season. We can talk about how McKenna is progressing, particularly as he goes up through to Double A, and look at how the other Orioles prospects are doing later in the year.
All right. Perfect.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.